Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, in Agape, we have not just the church doing something, but so many members of our church get involved, start organizations, and do a lot of amazing things all over the world. So Sister Bisola is a founder. It's what would we call it? President and founder, right? Of Horizon Hope. Amen. So she's asking for our support for our organization. Amen. She'll be at the lobby if you want to know more about what she does. Sometimes 3 minutes is not enough. You can please visit her and get more information. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you excited to be in God's house today? Amen. This has been a great service. It's been an amazing time in God's presence. It's always wonderful to come to the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If that's your feeling this morning, can you put your hands together for Jesus? Hopefully you didn't come here because you were dragged by your wife or significant other, right? Or by your mom or parent. Or you came here because you are excited about being here. Amen. And God bless you in Jesus' name. So I have a few announcements that I will make there before I go into the word. Our CTC starts this week. Amen. If you're wondering what is CTC, it's Church in the Community, right? It is a small church. Not just the large church. The church must grow larger and smaller at the same time. So in this church, we don't want you to just attend a big service on Sunday. We want you to be part of a smaller church. In the New Testament, they met in the temple, but they also met from house to house. So you need to belong to one of those. If you want to know how to, just go to the website. On the front page, you're going to see CTC small groups. Look for one that is closest to you or the one you like. We actually have also one for young adults. We don't care about distance. They will just go to where their peers are, all right? That's great. Some of us care about distance. We don't want to drive more than 20 minutes to a small group, right? But they don't. So please just sign up for whatever. Just make sure you are part of that. We're going to be studying Acts chapter. We're going to resume our study of the book of Acts. This week we're doing Acts 17. And this is every other week we do our CTC. Amen. Next week is our State of the Church Sunday. Hallelujah. It's always an amazing time. We give account of our stewardship. We're going to do our financial report as a church. Much more than financial report, the report of how we are doing in every aspect of the church, online, in person, finances. You know, how many people join the church, how our church is doing. We want the old church to know how we are doing. We also want the old church to know areas that we need to improve. Church is not the pastor. Church is not the minister. Church is us. Amen. All right. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, we are the church? We are the church. Amen. All right. So we're going to find out next week. And we're going to, it's going to be exciting. Amen. The following week is going to be our 18th anniversary. Our church is going to be officially become an adult. Yes. All right. All right, that's amazing. Amen. So we're going to turn 18. My daughter turned 18. It's 2018, rather. There are a number of people. Joshua is another one, right? All right. A number of Agape babies, just, they were born like months after the church started, or some of them before. So we praise God for that. So 18 is, we're going to celebrate that on February 18, all right? So we have the flyers. The flyer is going to be emailed. It's going to be on our social media. Share it with your friend. Let's pack the house. There's room for overflow in case you're wondering, where is you are a worker, all right? So we're going to have a bowling party, celebrate what God has done, and we're going to really enjoy. So please join us there. Amen. All right, let's go into the Word. All of us are ready for the Word of God. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. I want you to do something. I want you to place your hands on your chest. I want you to say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to receive your word. Speak to me. Let your word be planted in my heart. I receive your word with meekness. And I declare the word will change my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This month, the Lord gave us a word. It's a month of divine help. And every last day of the month, we have a special prayer. We call it Command Your Month Prayer. Command Your Month Prayer, which we pray for the new month, and we share what the Lord is saying concerning the month. So we did that last Wednesday. Amen. And I share a little bit. But the Lord wants me to share the word again. Amen. I titled the message, The Lord is My Helper. The Lord is My Helper. And this text I'm going to read from is Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I will want everybody to read this passage with me. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. Hopefully you can read it from the screen. It looks a little... All right. I think... Okay, receive sharp eyes in Jesus' name in case. All right, so let's go together. Let's read it. 1, 2, go. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. The Lord is my helper. I want you to say, the Lord is my helper. So I'm going to lay a groundwork of the people this message is for. This message might not be for everyone, but it's for four categories of people who are listening to me, whether you are in person or online. This message for people who are in trouble. All right? If you're here, your situation can be described as, I'm in trouble. Trouble means you are at risk. Maybe financial risk, or maybe you are in danger. Sometimes it might even be you got yourself into the trouble. This message is for you. The Lord wants me to tell you that he's your helper, that he's ready to help you. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in times of trouble. And I love when I think about this verse, why does the Lord use very? How can you say somebody is very present? I think the Lord just wants to emphasize that he's actively present. You know, because sometimes the Lord is present in a passive way. Because the Lord is always with us. David said, the Lord is with me. Even if I go to anywhere, even if you're in the wrong place, you know the Lord is there. He might not even support you being there. But in this instance, he said, if you're in trouble, I am very present. So I want to say to you today, the Lord is saying, this message is for you if you are in trouble. I am your helper, and I'm willing to help you. The second category of people, that this message is for is if you are weak. If you are in a weak place, maybe you're physically weak, emotionally weak, and you just don't have strength. You're just worn out. And I think Minister Norma just referred to that, alluding to when she read Paul's passage about being in a position where I am just done. I have nothing. Paul said, I was so weak. I have to be praying for resurrection. I have to just assume that I'm going to die. But, I need God who has the power of resurrection. If that describes your situation, that you are just weak, this message is for you. The Lord is saying, I am your helper. Hallelujah. I want you to repeat, the Lord is my helper. I want you to say it louder. The Lord is my helper. I'm going to give you a few passages, or two of them. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I want you to, I will strengthen you. So God said, I'm going to give you strength. I will strengthen you. And he goes further. Yes, I will help you. Isn't that powerful? The Lord says, I will help you. And he says further, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Have you ever been in a situation where you can't stand up? Maybe you're sick, you're weak, you just had a surgery, or you are in a, and you needed someone to help you stand, right? Maybe you needed someone to help you, and they have to hold you and use their strength to carry you so you can move around. That's what the Lord is describing you. That I'm gonna even do that for you. I'm going to come by your side, hold your hand, and my hand is called a righteous hand. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to help you. Now, Paul found himself in that situation in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He described that. He said, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. You see, so when you are weak, the Lord said, that is where my strength comes in. I will help you. So if you are in a weak place, hallelujah, the Lord is saying, I am your helper. I want you to repeat it. The Lord is my helper. Amen. The third category of people that this message is directed to, you have a task ahead of you that is bigger than you. God has given you a task. I don't know, maybe it's a ministry that God has given to you. Maybe it's an assignment. Maybe it's family. Maybe God has just given you a family. Maybe you've just started a business. Maybe you've just taken on an assignment. But it's bigger than you. It's much bigger. It's not something, even the thought of it overwhelms you. How am I going to do this? How am I going to cope? How am I going to survive? How am I going to handle this? Hallelujah. The Lord is saying, I am your helper. Hallelujah. I am your helper. The Lord says, I will help you. Thank you, Jesus. Speaking of being overwhelmed, Psalm 61 verse 2, David said, from the ends of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, the rock is a symbol of strength. You see, the Lord says, I am your rock. The rock is a symbol of stability. So if you are in a place where God has given you a task and you are wondering, you are overwhelmed, you just don't know how to accomplish the task, is much, way bigger than you. The Lord is saying, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. I want you to say, the Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
Hallelujah. Amen. The fourth category of people this message is directed to, you are confused. You don't know what to do. You have no idea. That's how you describe yourself. I don't even know what to do. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I have no idea what is going on. I'm just in a state of suspense. in a state of confusion. I just don't know what to do. The Lord is saying, I will help you. I will help you. I will help you. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says, if you lack wisdom, you see, lack, you know, that means you lack direction. You don't know what to do. Said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask. If any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. He said, he gives liberally without finding fault. I love this passage a lot. It encourages me that God does not look for an excuse to disqualify you. Have you ever been disqualified before? For a loan, for insurance claim, after you've paid all the money, premium, then when it's time to make the claim, they find something. Fine print, right? And they just say, this doesn't qualify. This is not. I once made a claim like that. It's supposed to be $4,000. And they say, oh, yeah, there's a little thing. There's a section 4A, subsection this. There's a cap to how much we pay for this. And it's $400. I felt like I got punched in the stomach. I felt so used. Hallelujah. But we serve a God who is always looking for ways to qualify us. You know, he finds ways. He finds ways to get us qualified. He finds all the exceptions. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you're disqualified? Somebody say, no, there's some way you can qualify. And they ask you, have you ever been to the military? You say, no. Have you ever been this? Have you ever been that? They ask you like a million questions until you say yes to one. They say, yeah, that can be a qualification. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. He looks for ways to qualify us for his blessing. Hallelujah. For his help. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to the message. None of us can go through life without needing help. I'm so sure by the time I listed these four categories, you probably fit at least one of them. Some of you might say, I think all the four of them. they're so applicable to me. So you realize that none of us can go through life without needing help. And God is so gracious. He knows so much that we need help in life, so much so that he gave us a helper in the person of the Holy Spirit. I mean, do you know that God designated somebody to be your personal helper? And that is the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 4, verse 26, he said, but the helper with an uppercase H, we will call it capital H, right? But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, I don't know. It doesn't matter how you feel about the Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues. You don't. You better know him as your helper. You better be willing to really realize this person, this Holy Spirit, is there to help you. So the helper whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Teach you all things. Teach you how to do things. Teach you how to get out of trouble. Teach you how to deal with difficult situation that is going on in your life. The helper. Yet, many of us don't take advantage of the help that God has offered. See, many of us don't know how to receive God's help. And it's one thing to have help available, but it's another thing to really know how to receive the help of God. So we're going to address that before we move on. And we're going to spend some time to pray. I'm praying that God will give us a little time so we can pray together. Amen. I'm going to address why many people don't receive God's help. You know, if God is this passionate about helping us, how come many of us somehow don't receive his help? I'm going to give us a few reasons. Some of us are hardwired to do things on our own. You know, we call it being independent, being self-made. Do you know, it's a myth. Self-made is a myth. Nobody is self-made. Let's start with your teacher. Some people taught you A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. I mean, nobody is self-made. Everybody got a lot of help along the way. Hallelujah. It's very, very, very important. So that's one thing you need to know, that you need to know that, you know, you are not. Stop trying to believe that you can do things on your own. There's a lot of people wired that way. They don't think they need anybody. They don't think they need anything. They think they can figure it out. They think they are smart. They think they know it all. They are just hardwired that way. If you are that person, you need to ask God for help to rewire you. Amen. For some, they feel uneasy because asking for help somewhat requires surrendering control to someone else, right? You know, sometimes that's people's perception. Some people have this perception that asking for help obviously means you surrender control. You know, somebody else now takes charge of certain aspect of your life, or at least that particular area of your life. Somebody is invited in to really try to do things. So that sense of losing control prevents some people from asking God for help, or asking people for help in general. Asking for help in general. So that's why some people don't receive help. There's another category of people. They are so afraid of appearing to be needy. All right? They want to, the perception of people looking at me like I'm needy. So it's almost a shame thing, right? You know, it's almost like they don't want to be ashamed, you know, of their situation, of people finding out that, wow, you're not all that. You don't have it together. You know, so in order to protect that, some people are so caught up with creating an image of themselves. Now, it's so bad now that we have social media, right? That people have created an image of themselves, of their life. But that life is fake life. You know? So, of course, they have to try to work things in reality to match the image that they have created. And that really, really hurt them in the long run. But for some, is actually the fear of being rejected. There are some that just the thought of asking for help and being rejected is really a problem. I mean, I've seen people who wouldn't even apply for a job because they've gotten so much rejection in life, and they're like, you know what? I'm not even applying anymore. If God is going to give me a job, maybe he just has to come somewhere. I'm just tired of saying we regret to tell you. Oh, you have such a great public qualification, but, right, we found someone else. You know, sometimes we go through all these things and it affects how we think, so we stop asking for help. So we go through life bearing more burdens than we are able. There's so many people here who are bearing more burdens than they should be bearing. And you will know because you are aging faster than your age. You are worn out. You are tired. you are cranky. Everybody, you know, you are just acting out. You're always cranky. You're mad. You know, that's because you are bearing more burden than you should be bearing. That's because you are not asking for help enough. And a lot of times you even have helpers around you that God has placed there. But maybe you're busy impressing your helpers. You're busy trying to act some kind, trying to come up with some form of image that it's really you've not been able to receive the help that God has for you. Hallelujah. So, but today we're going to change that. Amen. We're going to learn to receive help from God. Amen. And that's really, really what I want. That's the essence of this message. To learn how to receive. I mean, God is saying, I will help you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will uphold you with my right hand. How come we don't get all the help? That's because somehow we probably have one of these challenges. And we're going to change that in Jesus' name. Now, when it comes to getting help, there are three important things. It could be in form of a question or just important things about that we must know. I'm going to share that. Number one, we must know when is a good time or the good time to ask for help. If you're really going to get help from God, from people, from anyone, we must know when is a good time to ask for help. I mean, most people don't ask for help on time. That's actually number one problem I've found. A lot of time when people come to me, I'm always asked for help. I'm always asking them 90% of the time, why did you wait this long? Sometimes it's marital problem, financial problem, personal problem. I am always amazed at why people wait so long. Because the longer you wait, the bigger the problem. People wait until either it is too late or the situation is there's too much damage has been done. All right, so that's the major challenge in that area, that most people, they don't ask for help on time. And that's because a lot of time they fall into all these categories I've shared, right? So by the time they're asking for help, it's gotten so bad. They actually can't bear it anymore. Now, how do we confront that? But you confront that by realizing that God wants us to be proactive in asking for help. God wants us to be proactive. In fact, God wants us to have an attitude of someone that is seeking for help. Hallelujah. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the poor in spirit are people who always recognize they need help. I'm poor. I am not all that. I am deficient in many areas, and I need the help of God. In verse 5 of the same Matthew chapter 5, he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You see, the meek, they don't have a very too high view of themselves. They are willing to acknowledge their need for help. Hallelujah. You know, when the Bible says pray without ceasing, prayer itself is an admission of help. It's been studied. That's why more women pray than men. Men have problem in asking for help in general. And we even take it to God. We have problem. Because prayer is a humble, it belongs to the humble. All right? Praying without ceasing means we put ourselves in a position where we constantly need God's help. All right? We're not trying to figure everything out. In fact, before we start figuring it out, we ask God for help. And that's what makes us a prayerful person, because we are constantly praying. We are constantly asking God for help. We are constantly humbling ourselves before the Lord. Hallelujah. So when is a good time to ask help? It's now. All right? When is the good time? It's now. Don't wait until it is too long or it's too late. Number two, we must also know who to ask for help. All right? We must know who to ask for help. Many times people go to the wrong people for help. People go to the wrong places for help. Psalm 1 verse 1 talks about, you know, joining the mockers. Or he actually says there in New Living Translation, he says, who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Say, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around sinners, or join the mockers. Now, following the advice of the wicked means you are seeking the advice of the wicked. So we must be very careful who we ask for help. God wants to be the primary source of our help. If you look at the scripture, God is your help. David said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence my help comes from. God wants to be the source of your help. That's the message. God wants to be. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 31, Isaiah chapter 31 verse 1, the Bible says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. All right? Egypt in the Bible is a symbol of the world. All right? The world system. He said, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses. Horses are instrument of fight. Who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. He said, people who just go to other places apart from God, they're gonna suffer. That's what the Bible is saying here. Now, in verse 3 of that same chapter, he said, but the Egyptians are mere mortars and not God. Their horses are flesh, not spirit. I'm going to stop there. But he's saying that God wants to be the primary source of our help. God wants to be the first person you go to when you need help. And that's very important. Some of us, when you need help, the first place you go to is to people. And you are disappointed. That's why you're angry. That's why you're mad. No. The first person you go to for help is God. He's the one that will help you. Now, God can now direct you to human instruments or vehicles through which he will administer his help in your life. The problem is many times we twist it around. We go to people first before we go to God. We have financial problem. We already calculated few friends that will have money. And God help them. They tell you no, they become your enemy. As if you know everything they go in their life. You know you have an access to their budget, their balance sheet, everything. You know that they have excess. And you also know that that excess is for you, by the way. You already discern that in the spirit. That excess is for me. You see how we get ourselves into trouble. Now, God delights in using human instruments. That's not, I mean, but all the time, he will use human instruments to really, really bless us. So, we have to really learn to really go to the source of help, to lift up our eyes to where? To the hills. Where our help comes from. Because the Lord is your helper. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He wants you to be able to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That's the life of a believer. They can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The third thing we're going to address is how to ask for help. So how do we now ask for help? So we've said, number one, you must know when to ask for help, right? And when do you ask for help? Now. Don't wait. In fact, you should live a life of needing help from God all the time. All right? You must always rely on God. In fact, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Lean not on your what? Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways. That's powerful. So don't even ask. Even when you think you know, you should always say, God, I don't know, really. Because the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in any man that walks to direct his own path. We don't have the ability to figure things out on our own. We don't. You know, when we get it right, really, it's by the mercy of God. Some of you have just been fumbling and mumbling through life. It's been working. But first of all, how do you even know you are in the best place? How do you know you are getting the best help? How do you know you are living the best life? And how do you know God has not just been merciful to you? But you don't need to continue like that. And you need to go to the source of help. Hallelujah. But we must also know, how do we ask for help? You see, asking God for help, the good thing is it doesn't require a poetry degree. Right? It doesn't require a well-rehearsed language. It doesn't require a lot of eloquence. It requires simply authenticity and honesty. Most time we are not just honest to God when we are asking. So most time we are really in the street, they say you are fronting, right? You're really just trying to put up, in fact, we even try to put up an appearance to God, like he hasn't known everything. We try to really, really put up a very nice appearance to God. No, when we go before God, we must be totally honest. We must be totally transparent. We must be totally authentic. We must let him know what is going on in our life. That is how to get help from God. All right? You ask with honesty and with authenticity. You ask with humility. You ask with humility. Jesus told us the story of two people who went before God to pray. One of them was a Pharisee who went before God and boasting about himself. He's telling God how great he is. And he said, you know, Lord, you know, I'm such a very, very great Christian. You know, I'm not like that other guy right there that is praying. He's such a very lousy sinner, goes to club. I don't go to club. You know, I fast 3 times a week. I join all the prayer lines. I do this, I do that. You know, I think a few weeks ago I was telling, I was teaching on prayer. I said, you don't go before God with your righteousness. You are looking for trouble. Because that righteousness might actually just fall into pieces in the light of God. God might just shed his light on it and it's nothing. You go before God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how you go before. You go before God using his own nature and character. That's really the basis of... That doesn't mean you live lousy. No. But it means that when it comes to how you want God to treat you, you want it to be conditioned on the faithfulness of God, not your own faithfulness. Because even the best of your faithfulness might not actually stand before God. That's why the scripture says, even when we are not faithful, God is faithful. He will not deny himself. Praise the name of Jesus. Ask humbly. We ask in faith. We ask in faith. James chapter 1 verse 5 and 6, which we read, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith. No doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven and tossed and thrown by the wind. Let not that person think they will receive anything from God. So there's a way to ask God for help. Hallelujah. So I'm challenging you when it comes to your posture to God to be a needy person. To always let God know you need him. You need help. You need his wisdom. Lord, I can't live another day without you. Lord, I can't survive without you. Lord, I need you. I need your strength. I need your help. You don't have to go through life bearing all the burdens, shouldering everything, feeling responsible for everything that goes on in your life, and you are aging, you are angry, you are grumpy, and you are falling apart. That's not God's will. God's will is for us to live from a place of rest. Right? You know, the Christian life is called a faith rest life. It's a life of rest. It's a life that relies on what God has accomplished. Do you know the first day of man on earth is the seventh day of God? Do you know that? Do you know God created everything in 7 days? 7 days, rather. And he created man on the sixth day, right? At the end of the sixth day, God created who? Created man in his own image. And on the seventh day, what did God do?
Rested.
He rested. So the seventh day of man is what? The first day. The seventh day of God is the first day of? So the first day of man is a day of what?
Rest.
Hallelujah. Jesus came to restore that help. Hallelujah. Jesus came to restore the rest to us. Now, we lost the rest because of sin. Jesus came to restore it. So that we don't live our life worn out, confused. We don't live our life bearing all the burden. But we live our life trusting in God's help, believing him for help. Hallelujah. I'm going to conclude by reading Matthew 11. In Matthew 11, Jesus, in verse 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." It's not a life of labor. Jesus said, "All you will labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I want us to bow down our heads. And if you are in that, you are worn out, you are weary, you are exhausted, and you are saying, "Lord, I need your help." That this situation we have described, you feel like, wow, this message is a conspiracy of God about me. Lord, I need help. I want you to come out and come to the altar. I want the worship team or the band to really give us some song in the background. I want you to just come before the altar and go on your knees. Hallelujah. Just go on your knees and say, "Lord, I can't do it. I'm exhausted. I need your help. I can't go on my own. I'm about to. Lord, I need you." And I want you to begin to cry to the Lord. I want you to be sincere to the Lord. I want you to open up maybe what you are going through. I mean, you know what you are going through. I mean, you probably have not even told anybody. And I want you to be so honest before the Lord. I want you to be as the realest you can be. So real. Just tell God, "Lord, I need help." Tell him the task. If it is a task that is ahead of you, tell him the task. If you are in trouble, say, "God, I'm in trouble. I'm in financial trouble. Just tell him that. Tell him, if you made a mistake, say, Lord, I am sorry I caused the trouble. You see, the way to get help is honesty. If you are weak, say, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I'm weak. I can't do this alone. I can't do this by myself. Lord, I need you. If you have a task that is bigger than you ahead of you, say, Lord, I need you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can we sing, I need you, oh, I need you. I need you, oh, I need you. Let's sing the song, I need you, that old song. Yes, Lord. Say, Lord, I need you. Send it here. Thank you, Jesus. Let's tell him.